Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, or late afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, Redskins Post Game Edition. Super quick, taking you for the next 45 minutes on this 10th day of October 2010. Washington Redskins in a thriller. Well, you can call it a thriller when you win the game. Defeat the Green Bay Packers in overtime, 16-13, the second overtime game the Redskins have played this season. Of course, they lost in FedEx Field Week 2 to the Houston Texans, 30-27. But unfortunately, the Redskins were able to come away with the victory this time, 16-13 on a 26-yard Graham Gano, excuse me, on a 35-yard Graham Gano field goal that, of course, was set up by a tremendous interception from Lamar Leonard, who was frankly all over the place in this particular game. And listen, you can call them Redskins whatever you want. You can call them, I agree, offensively. You can say that they don't have a renegade, they don't. You can say that they, at times, look, you know, you can question the play call at times. The thing that you cannot question is the guts, heart, or character of this football team. This team had frankly had no business whatsoever winning this game. Green Bay could have put this game away about 10 times. I mean, Green Bay, this game, you know, 10-0, you know, 7-0 with a 4th-and-goal, up 7-0 with a 4th-and-goal at the Washington 1-yard line, and total control, Redskins offense, 2nd-quarter Redskins offense at that point wasn't doing anything. In the first quarter, quarter and a half of the game, didn't score until late in the second quarter. But Redskins was just hanging there, basically allowed the Redskins to hang in long enough for the Redskins to start making a couple plays here and there, and for the Redskins to catch their footing. And next thing you know, Green Bay was in for a bad fight. That's how the Redskins are going to have to win games. I mean, we've talked about this through the course of the season. It's not going to be pretty. So if you're a Washington Redskins fan, get pretty out of your mind. It's not with how this team wins. They're not going to line up and be able to say, "Here, we're going to do what we want to do because our personnel is that much better than yours." It's not going to happen. So we have to win these ugly, you know, field goal type games, 4 or 5 point victories, late to 4th-quarter games. This round, the Washington Redskins are going to have to win football games because of the personnel or lack thereof that they do have. I mean, that's just how it's going to be. But what you love, though, again, is the character of this football team. Today was all about the defense. Despite the fact that the Packers had close to 40 yards offense, remember, 200 yards came in the first quarter when the Packers went up and down the field against the Redskins, but only got 7 points out of there in the first quarter. First quarter only got 10 points in the first half. After that first couple of drives, the Redskins defense settled down, and they really kept the Packers receivers in front of them. The pass rush was tremendous in the second half, in the fourth quarter, and the overtime. And the pass rush, Rockford was all over the place. You know, you saw Redskins calling some blitzes. You know, they had a big sack on Aaron Rodgers in one of those late drives in the fourth quarter. Overtime, was certainly a great field position, but a ridiculous, just asinine penalty on Waddell Williams that would have resulted in the Redskins starting out at the 47-yard line. Instead, the Redskins were forced to go down the field, and they had to start out at the 26-yard line in overtime. But the defense was great, and even though the Redskins lost this game, that's something that I would have highlighted that you can look towards as a positive. The defense over the last two games has given up 25 points to two very good offensive teams. Let's say what you know about Philadelphia. Yeah, they knocked Michael Vick out. They have Philly 12 points. Green Bay loses Jamal. I understand what Green Bay lost. You know, Don Lee and Jermichael Philly, but they still have weapons besides those guys. They still have Aaron Rodgers. So they hold them to 13 points. And again, 3 points in the second half. Basically, Green Bay did nothing offensively in the fourth quarter and overtime. The Dodgers had a missed field goal by Mason Crosby. I think he won the game at the end of regulation, which was, I believe it was 49 yards, so he missed it. He also missed a 51. He also missed one earlier on as well. But the Green Bay offense was a non-factor in the fourth quarter and getting into overtime. This was a cast of different Redskins. It was a get-em-out type, you know, scrappy type win, and, you know, give all the credit to the defense. McNabb, he hugged him in, took a absolute beating. I'm sure he was the happiest man in the stadium when Clay Matthews left the game with an injury. That didn't seem to be major, but again, it was enough to keep him out of the game. But he got beat up, got sacked a number of times, at least four or five times, and got hit on a number of other occasions as well. But he hung in there, made the plays that he had to make, made a great throw on the 48-yard touchdown pass to Anthony Armstrong, and did not have the major mistake that cost him that would cost him the rest of the game, as he was 26-49 for 357, a touchdown and an interception. I will talk about that interception later in the program because it should have taken place. It wasn't McNabb's fault. Some issues with Mike Shanahan and company on that particular that last play in regulation, right before the overtime. The Redskins win 16-13. They go over 500. They are 3-2. They're good despite what happens. And with Dallas or with the Eagles, the Redskins will find themselves in first place. They are now tied with the New York Giants, who had their way with Houston earlier today with a record of 3-2. Of course, the Redskins have the tiebreaker because they are undefeated in the division. And again, a big win for the Washington Redskins. When you talk about the big picture, as far as, you know, they're trying to make the playoffs, trying to win the division. They're in the tough stretch of their schedule. And so far, so good. I mean, they're losing the Rams. Everybody, including myself, thinks they're in big time trouble after 1-2. Good travel to Philadelphia. Beat Philadelphia on the road, then come back home and beat the Green Bay team who a lot of people think will be a Super Bowl contender, and they are a Super Bowl contender. Listen, Green Bay is very good. No, that's not mistaken. Green Bay came into this game with a ton of injuries. They leave with a couple of injuries, but once they start getting some of their players back, and none of Green Bay's injuries are major injuries, they're going to be right there amongst the teams that compete for a Super Bowl in the NFC. There's no question about it. So this is, don't let the fact that Green Bay had a number of injuries take away from this win for Washington Redskins. You know, injuries at ball football, again, they still have Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers is, the Green Bay Packers begin and end with Aaron Rodgers. So, tremendous victory for the Washington Redskins to go 3-2, 16-13 in overtime. The Redskins play their second overtime. They even their overtime record up at 1-1. Four out of the Redskins' five games now have been decided by 6 points or less. Remember, beat Dallas 13-7, beat Philadelphia 17-12, lost to Houston 30-27, and now they defeat the Green Bay Packers 16-13 in overtime. Still to come on today's edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call Redskins Live post game edition. We will go inside the Redskins scoring drives, and we also will have turning point as well as offensive and defensive MVPs. And also, we might have a little conversation with Mr. Sapp, Robert Sapp, that is. So that's still to come on this next edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call Redskins post game edition. 16-13 Redskins win in overtime. Welcome back to today's edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. 10 minutes after the 10 o'clock hour, of course, we will be taking you to for the next 35 minutes as we do 45 minutes in this particular segment. Redskins defeat the Green Bay Packers 16-13 in overtime. And here's how the Redskins scored their 16 points. Redskins really struggled at the beginning of the game in the first quarter and were very fortunate not to be down 14-0 or even worse after a dreadful first quarter. Redskins late in the second quarter get a Graham Gano field goal. Get a Graham Gano field goal from 26 yards away off a 12-play, 78-yard drive. The key player of the drive, a 52-yard pass from McNabb to Santana Moss. Moss had a very good day, 7 catches, 118 yards. Up until that point, that was the Redskins' sixth possession. Redskins had done anything offensively. I mean, up until that point, the Redskins had, I believe, had two first downs, and one of them was due to a penalty. So the Redskins finally got the board and went into the locker room, down, luckily only down 10-3. After they easily could have been out of the game at that particular point. The defense, of course, were able to keep them in the game. And they went to after that drive, after the Gano field goal, they trailed 10-3. The Redskins' next score would not come into the fourth quarter. Did not come to the fourth quarter where Anthony Armstrong caught a 48-yard touchdown pass from Donovan McNabb. Very good throw from McNabb, but even a better catch from Armstrong as he basically almost pulled a David Tyree in terms of the ball looking like it was about to come out as he was able to snag it out of the air. The coverage was pretty good. Armstrong just made a tremendous play. 48-yard touchdown pass from McNabb. That drive was 2 plays, 60 yards. The Redskins closed the gap to 13-10. In the fourth quarter, the next Redskins score will come in the fourth quarter as well, as the Washington Redskins would drive down the field, 7 plays, 53 yards. The key play on that drive, a 30-yard pass play from McNabb to Cooley. Graham Gano kicks a 45-yard field goal to tie the game at 13. And, of course, in overtime, the Redskins really didn't do anything offensively. The Redskins were able to drive themselves, didn't do anything offensively on that last drive, basically. They were the beneficiaries of 2 penalties and a Lyon Landry interception. The Lyon Landry interception play originally took the Redskins to the 16-yard line, but of course it was backed up because it was determined that Lyon Landry was touched by a Green Bay Packers receiver. So that took it back to roughly the 39-yard line. And Redskins were, again, the beneficiary of 2 penalties. One of them was suspect. The Charles Woodson pass interference, that was kind of suspect, but again, it all equaled out because Redskins had a couple penalties go against them early on in that fourth quarter, one particular on a Chris Cooley was interfered with, but that the refs did not call it. But the Redskins were able to muscle their way down around the 22 or 23 yard line, and Graham Gano kicks a game-winning 35-yard field goal to end the scoring and end the game for Washington Redskins as the Redskins win 16-13. Gano hits 3 field goals with 3 of 4. He did miss a 51-yard field goal that he pushed wide right, but again, made the clutch kicks when he had to make 45-yard field goal to tie the game and a 35-yard field goal to win the game. So there's your Redskins scoring drives as the Redskins defeat the Green Bay Packers 16-13 in overtime to improve to 3-2 on the season. Again, the first place Washington Redskins are atop the NFC East 5 weeks into the season. We will be right back with defensive and offensive MVPs as well as the turning point of the game. 15 minutes after the 5 o'clock hour on this latest edition of Redskins Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, Redskins post game edition. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn. Redskins win 16-13 in overtime over the Green Bay Packers on a Graham Gano 35-yard field goal. The Redskins improved their record to 3-2. Turning point of the game, I thought, and there were a number of them. There were a number of them that I could have chose. When the Redskins squandered an opportunity to get some points after the defense forced a turnover at the Green Bay 21. McNabb misses the snap. They lose 23 yards and they don't get any points. Or you could have went with the defense having the goal line stand against Green Bay down 7-0 when the Redskins were on the ropes and when the offense wasn't doing anything. But to me, this was the turning point of the game. Redskins are down. It's third quarter, and the Redskins are really struggling at this point offensively. They're down 13-3. Green Bay, Redskins drive the ball down. They miss a field goal, and Green Bay has a good field position. And the Redskins defense forces a three and out. Redskins get the ball back, and then on the following drive, they get the touchdown pass from McNabb to Anthony Armstrong. To me, that turned the game. From then on, the Redskins really controlled this game and really took it to Green Bay. That was 13-3. You miss a field goal. Now, if they don't get any more points from there on, whether it's a touchdown or even a field goal to make it 16-3, this game is absolutely over. Green Bay had good field position after Goodell missed the 51-yard field goal. But, again, Green Bay was not able to take advantage of the good field position. Redskins defense really stood up and forced a three and out. And the Redskins offense took advantage of it by going 53 yards and getting the touchdown, getting the Anthony Armstrong touchdown reception. So that is your turning point of the day. Still coming up, we have defensive and offensive MVPs, and also we're going to try to get a hold of Mr. Sack to see what he thought about this particular game. We will be right back. Listen, the Saturday morning wake up call, Redskins Live. Your thoughts, Mr. Sapp?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Your thoughts on the game?
Just a really, really weird game again. It looks like the Redskins are just going to just gut it out through the season. I'm thinking that I didn't understand the running game and the philosophy that was going there, and it looked like, again, it was just all about the scheme of the passing game, but the defense, and especially the defensive play is what kind of saved them.
Yeah, no question. I mean, no question about it. Even had they lost this game, the thing I would have took away from it was the performance of the defense.
Yeah, I mean, without the defensive play, there's no way that they win that game. But also, and they kept pointing out over an announcement, Clay Matthews going out was big because Clay Matthews was all over Donovan McNabb.
Yeah, he was terrible. I mean, he was destroyed. I mean, Clay Matthews, he right now is. He might be, I saw Palomar with the best defensive player in the league right now. That's how good he is right now. I mean, that guy is just, he's a monster. He's an absolute monster. He's unblockable. I mean, you can chase down quarterbacks. You can rush the passer. You can drop him back in coverage. That was big. I mean, that was big. They were, Redskins, at that point, the Redskins offensive line was all banked up. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I had to bring up this point. I talked about it at the top of the show. Can you explain to me, with 1 second left, overtime waiting, what they were doing with that Hail Mary? I would love to hear Mike Shanahan's explanation was for that.
Crazy. That's what the explanation is. Crazy. You do not do that.
Because two things happened on that play. Number one, you almost got a touchdown return from Teron Williams. One. And the second thing, and most importantly, you lost your left tackle because of that on the return. And so one thing almost burns you, lost the game for you, and one thing could hurt you down the road of the season. You just got back. Trent Williams just got back from injury.
You won a game from something just as stupid. You saw Dallas do something just as stupid as that. Why would – there's no positive to it. There's no positive.
Zero.
You don't do it. Cincinnati, they lost doing some same dumb stuff also. What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
It made zero sense whatsoever. Again, I don't understand. I would love to hear the explanation for it. If there is an explanation, I would certainly love to hear what the explanation was for that particular play call. Like, Diamond, we know Diamond Mack can throw the ball 65, 70 yards, but the odds on you throwing a touchdown is just slim and none.
You take it into OT.
You should be happy to do it overtime.
Yeah, you take it to OT. You're lucky to get there. Keep it going. Yeah.
So what are your thoughts? We talked about the Bears. What are your thoughts on the Packers? Who look like a IR team right now with all the injuries that are mounting up.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on them overall?
Yep. Injuries are kicking their butt. It's just that simple. Even with kind of having a somewhat of a running game, I don't think as potent as it would be with Brian Grant, but even with having somewhat of a running game, you see the impact of Jermichael Finley going down, and just kind of this idea that, you have no commitment to the run. So even when you do run, we know it's not for real. We know you're not going to do it all the time. All we have to do is defend against the pass. And as those options start to dwindle, those windows get tighter for Aaron Rodgers, and, everything has to be more pinpointed. So I would pay a man in today. The same thing. You almost, as a quarterback, have to be perfect. And that's really, really hard to do in the NFL.
I feel like the Packers are one of two or three best in terms of going to survive. I feel like the Packers a lot. As a person, I'm really happy. The number of injuries are major injuries. I still like what they where they're going. That Clay Matthews injury didn't seem to be more of a precaution than it was a major injury. They'll get back Al Harris. They'll get back some big guys, Nick Barnett. So I still think they're in good shape. You look at the NFL, there are no teams. Again, the Rams have to win ugly. There are no teams that are just standing out right now.
Mm-mm. This is a you pick them from week to week game, week to week league. I mean, it's just that simple. You pick them from week to week. You have no idea what's going to happen. It's just that simple. You have no idea what's going to happen. And yeah, these teams. I'm looking at the Oakland and San Diego game right now. Just weird. It's just weird game that started out, and it's gonna end weird. It's this league right now, this season, hard to figure out.
But since you're a Redskins fan, it has to make you feel pretty good, because you don't know where this season's going to end up, since there's no dominant series. I'd have to play into a team like the Redskins' favor, winning every game, still, no dominant team.
Yep, no, this definitely figures to be a year where there'll be a few teams that we just didn't see coming. And the Redskins could absolutely be one of those teams that just gut it out and just make enough plays to win the game and then start to build that momentum, start to get that offense going, start to get the defense going, and then all of a sudden, right at the end of the game, right at the end of the season, there you go. They'll be there.
I was thinking about this over the course of the game, and we talked about it last week, but, who are the Redskins offensively as far as running, throwing, what should they do, what's their strengths, weaknesses. But one thing, let me make you Mike Shanahan and also Kyle Shanahan, the offensive coordinator. What do you do when you, Kirk Cousins is out 4-6, that's one wrong. You're not an effective running game. You don't have an effective running game. But you need to manufacture some type of running game in order to keep your quarterback up straight. How can you game plan? Do you game plan short, quick passes? How can you manufacture some type of running game to where you cannot become just one dimensional to allow people to just pin back their ears and try to kill down in the McNabb?
Well, I'll answer you like this. I think it is commitment to the run. And I think that in the modern day NFL, when a 3rd and 2 is now a shotgun, kind of like you get in shotgun formation when you're in 3rd and 2, it's like 10 miles apparently. That if it's not scheming, it's just it's actually committing and saying, hey, we want to run the ball. And I've yet seen that from the Redskins. Same last week. Last week, definitely they committed to the run. But I've yet to see that from the Redskins on a consistent basis. I've yet to see that from many teams on a consistent basis. But I think outside of scheme, and I think, yep, you can scheme some ways. And I think they've tried to scheme the passing game to death. I saw so many different formations coming from Shanahan on the pass that just were not working because they don't have the talent to run it. I think it's committing to the run that will actually get that game off the ground.
So you want the same creativity that they use in terms of skimming for the pass as in, you want that with the Redskins. You want that to be the running game as well. They should be able to scheme for the run as well as they scheme for the pass in terms of being able to create running plays that should be able to get some yards.
Yeah, and a commitment. I think it's obvious. You look at the game film outside of that Houston game, that the passing, they just don't have the talent in the passing, or they're just not, however the scheme is working and however they are breaking it down, it's not connecting. If they want to be successful,
they're going to have to manufacture some type of
thing. They have to balance it out.
Yeah.
It's not Philadelphia.
No, they're going to have to manifest some type of running game because the one McNabb will make it to the season. He didn't take as many hits.
No, you see him, and they were talking about it. They were talking about it on the draft. He's not moving as well.
No.
Like something's up right now.
Yeah.
So if you don't even it out, yeah, you're right. The season, forget about it.
They're going to have to manufacture some type of running game. Even if you run it for 25 or 70 yards, you're going to have to keep a defense somewhat honest to allow them that extra second or two to be able to throw the football.
Yeah.
You stay with me. I'm going to go over these offensive and defensive MVPs of the game for the program. Offensive MVPs would be easy to give to McNabb, but McNabb actually didn't play well, I thought. Thought he missed a lot of open throws, hit a lot of guys in the knees. My offensive MVP goes to Anthony Armstrong, had a big 48-yard touchdown catch, which was a good throw by McNabb, but even a better catch. And defensive MVPs, I split it between Lamon Landry and Brian Arakpo. Landry was all over the place, had a big interception. Arakpo had couple of sacks and probably two or three holding penalties that were not called. They generate. So between those two, I split the defensive MVPs up. Opposite MVP, I thought Armstrong had that big catch that to me turned the game around for the Redskins. So the Redskins win 16-13 on top of the NFC East. with a 3-2 record top of the Giants based on the fact that they're 2-0 in the division, get that the edge of that tie break. How do you play the Houston Texans? Well, speaking of the Giants, talking about this, which was an impressive win. Who are the Texans?
Yeah, man, the Texans. Apparently, the Indianapolis win was their Super Bowl because since then they have just done. This is a team that's tanking it. I mean, just quite simply. I mean, we have the weird situation last week. Aaron Foster is out for the first half. We don't know why he's out for the first half. Comes back in. We have this situation this week. We're trying to figure out what Andre Johnson is going to do. Matt Schaub just doesn't look like he is spreading the ball around. They just look completely discombobulated against the Giants this week, completely unprepared to play, and there's absolutely simply no excuse for it. They're not playing like a professional NFL team, period.
No, and they should have lost the Redskins. So they really, the AFC East has really got a number on them up to this point in these last few weeks or so. They beat the Redskins barely in overtime. They get smacked around back-to-back weeks at home at that. That's the thing about it. They get smacked around at home to the Giants and also to Dallas. What are your thoughts? And I know you touched on it a little bit. What were your thoughts on the Indianapolis-Kansas City game?
Efficient. Peyton Manning did enough to win that game. The offense was efficient enough to win that game. I'm interested in really zooming in on the defensive back play of Kansas City. Was it Kansas City's play, especially for the pass defense, or is it that all the Indianapolis receivers are limping around all over the field? Not quite sure. I would love to, like, really zoom in on that, but there was enough efficient play to win that game that came from the quarterback position. And that's just what it is. It's Peyton Manning versus Matt Castle. Peyton Manning wins that matchup 90% of the time.
Yeah. So Kansas City did put up a good showing in Indianapolis. I thought they played themselves well. A lot of people thought they were going to go down there and get smacked around. They're going to be competitive, to say the least. You can see some of the talent that they have, all around. So I thought they played decently.
Yeah. I mean, it's just that's a typical ugly Colts win where the kicker field goals, defense plays well enough to keep the other team in check, and then Peyton Manning wins it at the end of the game. He clock manages you to death. I mean, just typical ugly Colts win.
How about the Cincinnati game?
Yeah, just horrible management of the game at the end. Just horrible management. And Cincinnati legitimately has a running game. They don't have to be scared to run, and they still seem like they are more enthusiastic to pass than run the ball. They actually were having a pretty good performance from the defense, even though what the score said, their defense was playing pretty well. You have to play smart. Yep, you might have to go into overtime, but you still have to play the game smart. And they gave the game to Tampa Bay. They gave the game to Tampa Bay. And also, I question this, and I'll say it right now. I'm just questioning if Carson Palmer's any good. If he's not anything more than just an average QB on same par as like Ryan Fitzpatrick of the Buffalo Bills, is he any good?
I mean, the numbers will say otherwise, but yeah, I understand. That's another team that doesn't have an identity offensively. They're trying to force feed, this whole T.O. and it's kicking them out of what they do well. Mm-hmm. That is run the ball and set up play action and use other weapons. So they're kind of lost with that. So Carson Palmer is definitely not elite. He's not elite. We know that.
A big-time quarterback does not make that throw in that situation at the end of the game. to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are all of 12 years old combined.
Is one of the youngest teams in the league. They are the youngest team in the league. Yeah, he cannot make that throw whatsoever. They're going to be very interesting to watch. With Atlanta, they had a nice Memphis like win over Cleveland.
Just a little bit of fantasy. Don't like to do it often, but I absolutely picked up the Atlanta defense. Pittsburgh was on a bye this week. Picked up the Atlanta defense for my fantasy team. I thoroughly like Atlanta. I've liked Atlanta since the season has started. I think it's a well-built team. And I think that those games are the ones you have to win. You have to win those games against weaker teams. And they absolutely did what they had to do. Were they completely impressive? No, but they made exactly the right plays when they needed to make them against a scrappy Cleveland team.
Yeah, scrappy. Cleveland has been in every game this entire season. They finally won last week, but their first three games they were leading the fourth quarter and found a way to lose a game. So they are scrappy. They're not an awful team. They're mediocre. They're not terrible. And you know the dog pound still. You know. They are scrappy. That's a good. I think that'd be a good observation of Cleveland.
Yeah, if you fall asleep, if you lay on your laurels, Cleveland can beat you, and that's exactly Atlanta just kept chugging along. Cleveland was trying, was right there with them, doing a lot of different things offensively. Actually, give Jake DeLome a lot of credit. I thought he was going to throw like 4 or 5 interceptions. So I was impressed with the control that he actually did have, and that's the game you want from DeLome in order to give Cleveland the best chance to win. But Atlanta never bit. They just kept going along, and then anytime they had to take advantage of a situation, they took advantage of the situation, and they just made two more big plays than Cleveland.
How about Chicago and Carolina?
I almost have no words for this game. I in the tea leaves that I was reading, this is what I saw. I saw, of course, Todd Collins throwing interceptions all over the place. I saw that. I saw Julius Peppers just going through and going after Carolina. What I did not see, what totally threw me, is that I didn't see Matt Forte doing all that in the beginning. I looked at Matt Forte's stats before the game, and it was literally he's averaging 2.9 a game, somewhere between each game I was looking at, it was like either like 2.8, 2.9, 2.8. So I knew Chicago would have to run the ball, but I was like, they can't possibly run the ball. Matt Forte can't get from here to 3 yards without falling down. So I was utterly shocked to see what he did at the beginning of the game, and that's all it was. That's all it was. That game easily could have been a Carolina win 6-0 or 6-3.
Yeah.
So it was just those two breakdowns in the running game that just lost in the game.
Yeah, John Fox is gonna be fired. I mean, I think this is the end of the John Fox era in Carolina. If he makes it through the season, I mean he's gonna be without question. This is it for him. He's definitely on the firing line.
Yeah,
definitely. I mean it's just time. I think this time has come. To the team as far as they're going to go, going to the Super Bowl a few years back, and I think that it's time for a change. I think it's time for them to move on to
that
direction.
That team's a mess. They have no idea.
They have nothing. I mean, they have good running backs, but they don't have a quarterback.
They have a quarterback, but they can't run. They don't even get the opportunity to run. They're down 14-0 before they step on the field.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. How about talking about the big news of the week as far as the trade that could change the NFC North? That's Randy Moss going to Minnesota. How about what were your thoughts on that? I'll tell you what I thought.
Game changer. Game changer. I think that that's what was needed for Favre. I've agreed with all the teams that say that the Vikings have put their chips in the middle, to do a poker analogy. They push all in. Like, this is it. They know this is their Super Bowl season. No, there's no second shot at this. If we don't give it our all this year, that's it.
Yeah.
You know? So they push all their chips in. And then now I think, you know, it's the pressure on Favre. Can Favre produce? Is that something? They sent a bunch of players down there to beg for his services. He came back. Is he disinterested? Is he just broken down, or was it really that his receiving combo just wasn't working at that point in time, and now that they rectified that situation, because I don't, you know, regardless of what you think of Moss, he's as good as Sidney Rice is right now. I mean,
he's better than Sidney Rice.
I would say that, but even if, you know, how Sidney Rice is, at the end of last year, Moss is equally as good, and he's definitely better than whatever Sidney Rice shows up 8 weeks from now, or four weeks from now. And so now he has his pieces in place. He has to make it happen.
I don't know if you heard. It's evident that clearly, the Patriots are going to make a run at Miss Jackson.
Yeah.
That makes sense. If you're the Patriots, you can't waste Tom Brady's last 5 years trying to be built completely.
Yep. No, I totally agree with you. That makes perfect sense. That's just all that is. That just makes perfect sense where New England can give San Diego a 1 and a 2. Right, I think that's what they want. They want a 1 and a 2.
They want two twos.
New England could give them 2 twos.
Yep. Yeah.
And then they have 2 ones, and then also 2 threes.
Yeah.
And they would be great. I mean, it's just all around. It makes perfect sense. It makes sense to make that move. It makes sense to then get Vincent Jackson with the draft picks, but then it just all makes sense. And that just goes to speak to how dominant and how ahead of the game Belichick is from the rest of the league.
And Pittsburgh, too. I got to put Pittsburgh right there.
Pittsburgh is linebacker you. They throw in linebackers like defensive you. That's what I would call Pittsburgh. They're so plugged in, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah. I think it's a perfect trade for both teams being what's happening. So then New England made this trade. Everybody was talking about the Moss, you know, arguments with Brady and all that. The bottom line is, he was in his last year's contract. They had gotten out of him what they were going to get out of him for the 3 years, played great there. They weren't going to re-sign him. So it was time to, why not get another draft pick for him? So I think it was a perfect deal for both teams. I don't think any team was robbed or fleeced from that standpoint.
It's the Patriots way.
It's how they do it. Thank you, Mr. Seth, for joining us.
Thank you very much, sir.
And I will see you when I see you.
All right. Later.
And of course, it's Bob Sapp giving us a piece of his mind as far as what he thinks about the NFL. Again, good win for the Redskins. I'm not going to say a must win, but a game that gives them a little cushion going to next week as they take on the Indianapolis Colts at home and then follow it up with the Chicago Bears on the road. That schedule, not, you know, Colts are not unbeatable, and the Bears, certainly, who knows if Kellen will be back. I will see you next week. So long. Have a great week.